Okay, let's unpack this. We are about to jump headfirst into a year that energetically and astrologically, it really doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
2026, the year of the fire horse.
Exactly.
If you feel like the past few years have been about this sort of slow, grinding change, well, the fire horse is here to light the fuse.
That's a perfect analogy. This isn't just, you know, another spin of the zodiac wheel. The Lunar New Year begins on February 17th, 2026, and this specific pairing of the horse with the Yang fire element is incredibly rare.
How rare are we talking?
Well, the last time this happened was 1966, and if you miss this one, you're waiting until 2086.
Wow. Okay, so this year is charged with a massive energy of what? Initiation? Acceleration?
And profound redefinition. Right. All of the above.
So this is not a time for sitting on the fence. Our mission today is to take this powerful energy signal from, you know, Chinese cosmology, Western astrology, even history, and give you the blueprint to channel it. How do you move from just reacting to taking confident, intentional action?
We approach this with a few different lenses. First, we have to define the temporal energy. What does this year feel like? Then we use the spatial intelligence of Feng Shui to consciously shape that energy in your own environment.
Because if you try to hold back the fire horse,
you're just going to get run over. It really does demand conscious engagement.
Okay, so let's define this dynamic duo. What happens when the horse meets fire? The horse on its own is, well, it's famous for being energetic, independent, it loves freedom, hates being confined.
Right. And then you add the fire element, which is pure ambition. It's passion, it's transformation, dynamic movement. It's an accelerator.
So you fuse them.
And you get this magnifying effect. The energy becomes charismatic, driven, truly fearless. It inspires us to break new ground, to pursue goals with just incredible velocity.
That sounds like a dream year for entrepreneurs, artists, anyone looking to make a huge change.
Yeah.
But there's always a caveat, right?
Yeah.
Your fire has a dark side.
It does. It can burn uncontrollably. That same energy can manifest as impatience, impulsivity, or the big one, rapid burnout. You're charging ahead so fast you forget to even look down. So to get sustainable success in 2026, that fire of ambition has to be balanced.
And that's where Feng Shui comes in, providing that architectural guidance. So where does the fire element live in our spaces?
In the five-element system, fire corresponds with summer, the direction south, and the color red. In your home, we're talking about light, lamps, candles, anything with a triangular or pointed shape. It's the energy that stimulates social interaction and recognition.
So if we know the whole year is ruled by this intense, fast-moving fire, how do we design our homes to moderate it? To introduce that balance.
You need complementary elements. Earth provides stability. It grounds that restless energy. Think pottery, neutral tones, things with weight.
And water.
And critically, water cools and moderates the fire. We'll see later how the year's own energy map actually brings a water element to the center, reinforcing this exact need.
So a practical tip for everyone listening is maybe don't go paint all your walls red.
Absolutely not. You want to introduce lively tones, vibrant art. Sure, harness that creativity, but you have to consciously balance the heat. Use soft wave-like textures, natural materials, maybe a small water feature in the right spot.
It's a year to ride the horse, not let the horse ride you.
That's the perfect way to put it.
I think to really get the intensity of this, we need to look in the mirror. Let's go back 60 years. Let's talk about 1966, the last fire horse year.
The sources show this incredible duality in 1966. You have huge political destruction on one hand and quiet foundational creation on the other.
Right.
Geopolitically, China's cultural revolution began, an unimaginable upheaval. At the same time, Indira Gandhi became prime minister of India, a huge cultural shift. France pulled out of NATO command. The world was redefining itself.
And culturally, the challenges to tradition were huge. The Beatles controversy, John Lennon's more popular than Jesus comment, it was a lightning rod for the youth culture challenging every established norm.
Yeah, everything was suddenly up for debate. And you can't overlook the superstition in Japan. There was this lingering belief about women born in fire horse years being difficult.
And that actually affected birth rates.
It caused a significant temporary decline in births that year. It just shows how collective narratives, even ones based in fear, can drive major life decisions when the fire horse is riding high.
So people are compelled to act on these really intense beliefs. But underneath all that revolutionary turmoil, 1966 was also a bedrock year for innovation.
Yes, the infrastructure for our future was being laid down. Charles K. Kao and George Hockham proposed optical fiber communication,
which is the engine of the internet you're using right now.
Exactly. Stephanie Kwolek developed Kevlar, 5 times stronger than steel, a foundational material for modern protection.
And you have to mention the birth of interactive play.
Absolutely. Ralph H. Baer created the first prototype of a home video game system. James Goodfellow patented the ATM card and PIN system. HP was accelerating integrated computing.
So when you pull it all together, the Firehorse year didn't just produce spectacle. It birthed technologies that answered these fundamental human needs: communication, protection, access. That duality is the core lesson for 2026.
The innovations lasted because they were practical. They weren't just a flash in the pan. They became the bedrock.
Which brings us to art and literature from 1966 for clues about the, let's say, psychological terrain of 2026. I love this analogy of Yoko Ono's piece, Ceiling Painting. Yes, painting.
It's so prophetic for right now. To experience it, you have to climb a tall ladder and use a magnifying glass just to find this tiny word, yes, written on a canvas over your head.
And the meaning for 2026 seems so clear. In a world saturated with AI misinformation and, you know, just anxiety, hope is not obvious. It's not passive.
You have to actively seek it out. It calls for these micro acts of attention, of participation, a kind of fragile optimism. You have to commit to climbing that ladder.
And the literature from 1966 echoes this. Robert Heinlein: there's no such thing as a free lunch.
The Firehorse brings ambition, but it also brings the bill. Accountability for all the shortcuts we've taken with data, privacy, the environment, that's coming due.
Then there's Tom Stoppard: we cross our bridges when we come to them and burn them behind us.
Which speaks directly to the sheer velocity of 2026. We're shedding careers, platforms, relationships so quickly. The danger is we destroy the bridges of history and trust.
And finally, Thomas Pynchon: the truth changes according to the angle from which it is seen.
That is the definitive narrative fracture of our time. With AI realities and personalized feeds, the skill we need is to treat perspective as data, not as doctrine, to see from multiple angles.
So the keywords become accountability, narrative fracture, disruption, but also clarification and ambiguous hope. This leads us right to AI. If 1966 was about optical fiber, 2026 is when AI becomes invisible infrastructure.
Exactly. It's following that 1966 template. It's moving from being a novelty to being an essential part of our systems. Healthcare, finance, creative work. It's a massive amplifier of human intelligence.
And this rapid integration brings the same challenges as 1966, but on steroids because of the Firehorse speed.
Precisely. The issues of control, dependency, ethics. They surface so much faster because the systems are so complex and the momentum is so great.
So the real question isn't how powerful AI becomes, but how consciously we integrate it. How do we make sure speed doesn't trump wisdom?
That's the core tension. And it's reinforced perfectly when we look at Western astrology, which gives us a map of the psychological pressures.
Okay, so what are the big astrological shifts for 2026?
We have several huge ones. First, Saturn enters Aries on February 13th, just days before the Lunar New Year. Saturn is the planet of discipline, structure, boundaries.
And Aries is?
Aries is the sign of impulsive new beginnings, me first energy.
Wait, Saturn, the taskmaster, in Aries, the impulsive pioneer?
Whoa.
That sounds like hitting the gas and the brakes at the exact same time.
It is the primary psychological tension of the year. The Firehorse gives you the urge to act now, but Saturn demands that you plan. If you just act without a structure, Saturn in Aries will deliver consequences fast.
Okay, what else?
Neptune also enters Aries, which supports massive creativity and self-reinvention. And Uranus moves into Gemini, signaling rapid, unexpected changes in communication and tech. And in the second half of the year, Jupiter shifts into Leo, boosting confidence and leadership, pure Firehorse fuel.
The synergy is undeniable. Both systems point to confident, independent action. But the key is that need for clarity, for structure.
Exactly. You get the drive of the horse, but you have to respect the boundaries of Saturn.
So now the most critical part, the practical application. How do we use Feng Shui, the discipline of space, to manage all this fire? Let's talk about the Bagua.
The Bagua is basically a 9-section grid that you overlay on your home. Each section corresponds to a life area: wealth, fame, career, and so on. Every year, new energies or flying stars settle into these 9 palaces.
And the key focus for 2026.
The most important placement is that Star 1 takes its place at the very center of the grid. Star 1 is a water element star, and it brings opportunities in career, communication, and new beginnings.
And because it's in the center, it influences everything else.
It seeds energy throughout all the other 8 areas. Now, To make this personal for you, you can calculate your personal star number.
Okay, how does that work?
It's simple. You add up the digits of your birth year until you get a single number. So for 1985, it's 1 plus 9 plus 8 plus 5, which is 23. Then 2 plus 3 is 5.
Okay, so you get your single digit.
Then you subtract that number from 11. So if your number was 5, you get 6. That's your personal star number. You find that star's palace in the Bagua, and that area becomes your personal focus for the year.
So if my number is 6, which is linked to the Northwest area, helpful people in travel, that's where I should focus my fire horse energy.
Precisely. You're using the year's high energy to drive action in your most beneficial zone, reaching out to mentors, networking, taking that trip.
Let's talk rituals.
Yeah.
How do we anchor all this intention?
Always remember the formula. Intention is 60%, your personal energy is 30%, and the ritual is just 10%. The why matters more than the what.
Give us the action items.
Use the horse symbol. Place a fiery colored horse figurine or painting in an area you want to energize, especially the south. If you use a horseshoe for protection, hang it up like the letter U to catch the luck.
And for the new year on February 17th.
Rituals of renewal are key. Wear something brand new, preferably red. Get 8 oranges or do an orange peel blessing ceremony to welcome abundance.
And back to that critical balance. How do we handle star one, the water element, in the center of the home?
This is the most important design advice. You activate the fire where it's appropriate, like the south. But in the center where the water-ruled star one sits, you introduce balance. Use soft blue accents, maybe some glass art, or an image of calm, flowing water.
A visual reminder.
An energetic reminder that you need wisdom and calm, focus water to guide the intense energy of the fire horse.
And for our personal energy to prevent burnout.
Decluttering is mandatory. Physical movement gets rid of stagnant energy. Use sound, smudge your space, write down your aspirations, sign them, place them in your fame sector. And for your body, dynamic activity like walking or yoga is great, but you must balance it with restorative practices.
So swimming, stretching, meditation.
Those are the water elements for your body. Essential to keep the fire horse energized, but not exhausted.
This has been an incredibly deep look at what is clearly going to be a dynamic, but very challenging year. That tension between impulse and discipline is everything.
It is. And it's so important to remember that these are frameworks to enhance well-being, not to create anxiety. Use them as tools, as the saying goes. Don't put your life in feng shui. Put feng shui in your life.
So what does this all mean? The ultimate fusion here is that the fire horse demands bold action and accountability. But at the same time, that centering star one, ruled by water and wisdom, demands conscious grounding and clarity. The year will be clarifying, but it will not be comfortable.
And that 1966 parallel, it teaches us that the lasting impact came not from the spectacle, but from the foundational innovations, the things that required planning.
Exactly. The most enduring lesson, mirrored in Yoko Ono's art, is that 2026 won't be defined by passive consumption. It's defined by the micro acts of attention and ethical choice you make. The choice to use the water of wisdom to guide the fire of ambition. So the question is, how willing are you to climb that ladder to find your own clear yes? That's the challenge of the fire horse.